Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Yo, yo, check this out. This is your girl, Cola Vogue, and I'm chilling with my boys right here on Off the Cuff Radio. Because we off the cuff right now. You dig?
What's up? It's your boy, Lil Yap, doing LZ, ragging up from the river, cooling with my homies and my family at Off the Cuff Radio. Y'all be sure to tune in on Fridays and get the latest scoop and find out what's happening. You hoot me?
Tiffany Levine.
And this Queen Crazy, your girl, favorite bartender.
And we're from
Sex on the Rocks podcast.
All right, you're now tuning in to Off the Cuff Radio.
Yeah, because they keep representing that world hip hop. Well, much love.
All right.
Y'all, this is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout out to the live show on Friday nights Off the Cuff Radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey y'all, this is Stacia Lachey, giving a shout out to King Eric and Off the Cuff Radio.
What's shaking, y'all? This is the Grand, one half of Lost Cause and one third of that Drive Time thing. Sending my love to the homies over at Off the Cuff Radio. Tune in every Friday night for some real deal hip hop conversation. These dudes are the connoisseurs of this thing. You already know what it is. BX Stand Up, Hud City, was shaking. Peace.
Yo, this is Joe Fresh the Dime, and y'all tuned in to the most raw, untouched show on radio, the Guillotine Team, Off the Cuff, and yo, Eric Sandman, off of these clowns.
L.A., Compton, I am Jameel. We going worldwide. Come up, boys. You already know this is a lich, and we in the motherfucking house. We love you.
Oh, shit. It's the come up, boys.
Don't want to meet no more of my idols. No respect for them. We emulated niggas. That's nothing like what they rap. Fuck it, I got it now, and I promise to keep it honest, promise to keep it confident. Dickie Shorts, Cortez, trapping out the Howard Johnson. Like, I ain't going home if I don't make enough to put my daughter through a year college. We the niggas that your favorite rapper name dropping. And when they see us, they tuck chains and smile awkward. Gang, gang, nigga, Florida, Marlin. Cop call us the baby killers, we be catching bodies. And I got homies from the 9 to the Magnolia, who bleed blue pop pills and toast semi-auto. Who you know paint a picture as vivid as Picasso. A Compton Avenue shootout, strips through them potholes. Can't forget about them vatos who put CV. Compton Vadio playing to get you adios. Back when I would open up a lazy bone, I knew I was on. He hated on me, told Chris, don't let me perform. Shit hurt me hella bad, I grew up on this song. Then Jerry hella told me that I'd be bigger than Bone. But I ain't get cocky, I stay humble, nigga. Work on my defense game, now I'm a tumble, nigga. Damn, Daniel Coke, slow, no Arm & Hammer. Team, whole squad, 21 Savage. We the Cubs, French Cubs, sippin' yellow tux. I bet your hoe stick around if she come with us. I got real street niggas ready to ante up. I tell them it's just rap, they wanna fuck you up. I aim to be number one, never runner up. Big money, big joints, going Tommy John. Man, who the fuck is Cubs? He ain't one of us. You stand next to a sucker, you must be one of them. You stand next to a sucker, you can't fuck with us. Somebody tell you suckers, they gotta level up. Don't need a Compton challenge to show you I'm Compton. I'm a threat to any artist you got on your roster. I do the auto-tune shit, but the flow is a monster. Bring any artist you got signed, and I lyrically off, and that's on Compton, nigga, I kill them all. Use your top five MCs as dental floss. Wilmington ass, fourth quarter, going John Wall. They tryna play a real nigga like an eyeball. They wanna politic on me, let's have a sideball. Whatever happened to making it, cause you rhyme hard. Hard times got me thinking like a time bomb. But I don't break being fold, nigga, I'm so hub. But when you spit hot fire like Da Line, they want you to die off. I do songs hoping to wave a rub off. I pay dues, gave it my all, no love lost. Same niggas floss on me, is begging to get a song. This shit kinda ironic to be honest. But we don't do fake ass niggas, so keep mobbing. Marsburg, non-fiction, real Compton. Plus real pop in the city that bang bombs it. Put dirt on my name but couldn't stop me. Set me up like Pac in the quad studio lobby. Came back stronger than ever, I'm a hard body. We ain't in the same lane, my nigga, you not like me.
The motherfucking deal. It's your nigga, Mac Daddy, aka Chocolate Poppy, aka Hiding Steep, but better known as infamous JK.
Oh shit, it's the come up boy.
Cub Radio, Compton Challenge. Jamil, I hear you boy. 2017, it's on year. Cub, baby, we out.
I went at the competition with no pot to piss in. I was hungry, they was hungover, the focus different. I went at the mayor, you went at these rapper niggas. You made friends with the same niggas I'm after, nigga, fuck you. I see what it is, I see what it is. We cross paths, it be what it is, it be what it is. Niggas stole covers and carbon copied the brother. I came back with TBK and I killed Summer. Jax, nigga, I'm on him. I'ma name my EP all cuz I'm on you. I ain't in the lane with niggas who fake bang and only attack Pro Tools. Bobby said body these niggas and stay focused. Know I got killers on deck, they don't notice. Niggas not keeping it G and we all know it. They want a Malcolm X, me a Martin, a young poet. If Asia win again, we fucked and we all know it.
Oh shit, it's the come up boys.
With this top on my lap, looking for the opps, where they at? I'm out the window with that top, it go rat. Spin move, hit your block and double back. And looking for a so I can trip on him, rip on him. Show up to the grave and piss on him. Fuck you, fuck your hood and your big homie. The opps say they outside, I fly with the K. Niggas say they won't beef, they dying today. Niggas acting like they really with that gang shit. Keep tapping in your rap and get your brain hit. I be spinning with this blower like a fan. We gon' slide around your block, doors open on that fan. Tripping off that shit that you done posted on the gram. Think it's funny, somebody start laying. Little nigga, I ain't playing. I be flying with this top on my lap. Looking for the opps, where they at? I'm out the window with that top and go rat. Spin move, hit your block and double back.
Rapping, I was wildin'. Everything I rap about, you know I really live it. All these other niggas capping cause they never did it. Long Beach, Cambodia town, we been with it since the youngin'. We were sliding with them pistols in the Civic. Some think I'm lying just because my skin color. From the streets to the pen where they label us the other. He be like he Asian while he said the N-word. Ain't no nerd, bitch, I grew up in the hood, not the bird. Got a photo for the Asians out here in California. Big homies from the hood, yeah, you know they mold us. Riding with my heat with a heart of a soldier. Havoc in these streets, man, the police can't control us.
With the top on my lap, looking for the opps, where they at? I'm out the window with that top, it go rat. Spin move, hit your block and double back. Sliding.
Yeah. Episode 397 is going down. Off the Cuff Radio. King Eric in the building. Alongside T-Max with the facts.
What it do, what it do. Thursday Night Thunder. OTCF in the building. Sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment. Core Financial. Jesse's Boutique. Dirty Basement Radio. It's King Eric and myself. Shout out to our co-host, Mr. Elada Sandman and Lady Chinchilla. And King, if the heads ain't know tonight, because you set the tone off so beautifully, banging it from the west side, throwing it up for the city of champions known as Compton.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah. You know, we had to, you know, take a little music intermission to let people know what we have aboard tonight. Our guest is going to be joining us anytime now. So, in the meantime, I want to thank y'all for helping us reach 397. I mean that from the bottom of my heart, man, because that's
been a long
grind, man. We've been doing this since 2014, non-stopping, no breaks, just keeping it consistent, giving y'all the best content that we could, and keeping it solid. Most importantly, being about the music.
Definitely. And King, I know I say it all the time, and I'm going to say it again. You started this. This is your baby. You started this in 2014. I've been part of the team since 2017. This is momentous, man, because it shows, you know, from what, you know, your passion put into action, what a dream realized, you know, laying the seeds to come to fruition, can grow into, and what you reap from in terms of that fruitful harvest. I'm so proud of you, man. I'm so proud of what we've all accomplished as a whole. And I guess that's the perfect segue to say it all, that, you know, one thing about it, King, is we're both children of the culture, you know, and we know the importance of not only hip-hop music, but in terms of not only hip-hop music for what it brings in terms of giving a voice to those in the hoods all over the world, no matter where you're from, clothing is also just as important, too, you know?
And, absolutely.
You know, and in terms of hip-hop, you know, culture, it has inspired so many different, you know, lanes of fashion and look. You know, from designers all the way from Dapper Dan, you know, all the way to guys like, you know, Snoop Dogg, Master P, Eminem, Cross Colors, two black guys from Toronto, you know, Ruspect, shout out to Wacko, CEO, you know, out in California, which also leads to our distinguished, most dope, one of the most humblest, hardworking, nice guys from the West Side representing the hub, the City of Champions, Compton. This man was first featured in the 2016 Arts and Entertainment.
He's not on yet. We just, you know, we just built in the meantime. We just building it.
But yeah, man.
In the meantime, what we want to just say also while we're waiting on our guest of the night is a lot of good music coming out right now, man. It's a lot of dope music. The underground is killing it right now.
And King, your musical selections from the beginning for this show, I mean, shout out to Compton AV especially, man. I mean, yo, that dude has been putting it down for some years and still is, man. You know, I mean, you know, of course, Run Me My Money is, you know, his signature joint, but like you put with Sliding, of course, Quete, you know, I mean, the dude is, I mean, it's just something about the West Coast and just about, you know, and it's not even just relegated to Compton, although it's a big part of hip-hop history, but when you look at all of California, man, from the Bay to L.A. down to San Diego, man, I mean, dude, I mean, it's just amazing to see all the talent coming out of the West Coast and, you know, still doing it.
Not to mention the track that I played in the beginning with my man, I Am Jamil. He's been on the show a couple times. And that track there, he did something called the Compton Challenge where he was doing freestyles over classic West Coast beats from Compton artists like Eazy-E, Quick. So he was paying homage to that.
Yeah, and that dude is talented, man, you know, basically to flip it, because one thing about what Jamil did on the track, you know, and shout out to him being on the show, when you think about, you know, when you first have, you know, his first joint, he kicks with Easy Beat, you know, it's like, you know, Dre Killer, and then how he just drops it into, I mean, King, you got to remember in terms of the BPM and the rhythm in terms of what it is on that. And then when the switch up comes, because you don't even hear, like, a lot of times when you hear sometimes those multi-beat, you know, rhymes, sometimes there's a scratch to tell the artist when to change. This dude just the dude just dropped the tempo and just changed up his flow, you know, style, right, just like it won't nothing. I mean, you know, that's ill, you know.
Yeah, big shout out to I Am Jamil, man. That's a real solid brother right there, man.
Yeah.
And we got our guests on the line, man. And big shout out to UT Max for giving him the proper intro. Got one of the biggest clothing lines out in the West Coast, and he's here to chop it up on Off the Cuff Radio to talk about his current moves, where he's going in the future, where he's been, where is he from. What's all bring on, my man? Ty from City of Grind, y'all.
What it do?
What's happening? What's happening?
What it do, man? Ty, it's been a long time coming, but we finally got you on. We're so glad to have you on, man. Shout out to you. Shout out to the CPC and everybody, man.
Appreciate it, y'all. Appreciate y'all having us on, man. Big love, support, the whole nine. Appreciate it.
Definitely. And you know, Ty, we gotta give y'all we can't go further in here without really giving everybody a little bit of history in terms of, you know, how we found y'all, you know, and how, you know, this has culminated to where we're at now. Of course, you know, shout out to A&E for the Compton documentary they did back in 2015 that really showcased, you know, a lot of the up and comers. You know, of course, it featured Kendrick and Game, you know, but of course, you know, we can't forget Compton AV, OG Suicide, Wacko, yourself in terms of the clothing line, you know, Dre.
Right. Right.
I mean, you know, to really, you know, you all have an indelible, integral, and infinite place in the history of hip-hop forever and ever. You know, without the city of Compton, hip-hop really doesn't advance, you know, really to, in my mind, where we're at right now in terms of giving it a broad exposure from y'all getting to tell y'all stories from L.A., you know, in the city specifically, man. I guess we're going to get right into it, man. Tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, you growing up out there and, you know, just, you know, your whole journey up, in, you know, up to, you know, how y'all got, you know, the clothing line started to, you know, meeting Dre to ultimately appearing in the documentary and what y'all got planned for coming now. We got a couple hours, man. So, I mean, hey, knock yourself out, man. I mean, hey, we want to hear everything.
I appreciate it. And you spoke specific facts when it came to just the hip-hop legendary. I remember Kendrick specifically saying when we met him, I asked him and showed him, you know, Dre rocking the sweater. He said, man, that's legendary. So for you to even say what you said, and you know, how K-Dot just said that when we met him, I understand the path now and the vision. And like, everything happened about 5-6 years ago, so I want to start in 2015, right when the movie came out. Dre was primarily at the City Hall, City of Compton, on Compton Boulevard. And, you know, I think he was on Twitter, but didn't really say that he was, you know, going to be in the City of Compton. They were filming the last few scenes were straight out of Compton. So my mom, she's the city clerk of Compton. So she sits, you know, right next to the mayor. And she noticed that they were outside, right by the monument, the Compton Boulevard monument. So we came down, me and my younger brother, and we specifically just came down wearing the sweater, I think my brother had on maybe one of the jerseys, something of that nature. So we go back to the trailer, and I think it's Stanley. I don't know if anybody knows Friday. Well, everybody's seen the movie Friday, but Stanley, the Get Off My Grass guy, he actually was one of the directors of Straight Out Compton, and went to high school, Gardena High School, with my mom back in the day, which is a, you know, small world type of situation. And, you know, he asked us to kind of come down to the trailer. Dre had come out, and we'll let you present, you know, the clothing line. As doing that, I simply asked for advice. I didn't ask Dre for nothing more than that. But introducing myself, if anybody knows the movie, seen the movie, Dr. Dre had a younger brother, and he was in the movie. He also, you know, made a song called Message that was about his younger brother. And my real name is Tyree, and his real name is Tyree. So when I introduced myself, you know, I kind of scared Dre a little bit. He kind of asked me, like, you know, what's your name again? And I thought I was supposed to say Ty, you know, because that's my nickname. Everybody knows me as Ty. I go by Ty. I let you guys know I'm Ty, but I said Tyree again. And he just said, I'm never going to forget that name. And in conversation, we exchanged, you know, contact. We went through email back and forth, let him know that I was overwhelmed with, you know, orders and, you know, pre-orders and, you know, Dre blessed us. And then we go into meeting Kendrick, we go into meeting Game, and all of that was off the strength of Dre. But that's just a small story. It was, you know, more to it. But that's how we kind of began. I want to say Dre saw the vision I was looking for in my generation. I'm 30 now. I was about 24, 23 when I met Dre. So, you know, my mindset is a lot different. The business will be a lot different. And we're excelling, man.
Man, look, Ty, one thing about it, man, you know, the history y'all have, you know, it's so rich. You know what I mean? You know, we got to shout out because this is a big show. So for everybody listening out of Compton, man, we're going to shout out everybody from the street, you know, all the way, you know, to high schools. You know, whether you Centennial, whether you Compton Dominguez, whether you Tubman, whether you
Yeah, we Dominguez babies. Top city of grind. City of grind is Dominguez babies. So when it comes to that basketball, we were built under that. And I think that's where City of Grind actually came from as far as my vision. I had the idea in seventh grade, but to become a business, it happened at Dominguez High, and it went into my college years and things of that nature. But we all Dominguez babies for sure.
Yeah, man, look, we can't forget shout-out Tyson Chandler, who represents Dominguez, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You know, and of course, one of the baddest dunkers ever in the Pac-10, of course, Jeff Trepanier from USC. You know what I'm
saying?
And
Brandon Jennings yeah. In my I graduated in 2009, so he was 2008. And I seen him as a freshman. So the Brandon Jennings that people know about, you know, now, I seen him, you know, just lunch breaks just by himself in the gym. So, you know, we got younger people too. It's a lot. You know? The niggas did their thing, man, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, Compton Boulevard, Rose Trans, Central, you know, Tragnew, you know, Kelly
Compton High. We can't Compton, forget about DeMar. You know, we had
DeMar
a conversation
DeRozan.
With DeMar.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Compton his brand. You know, we connected in the sense. You know, we've been talking and communicating. So, City of Grind and Compton, you might see a certain collab, but you know, DeMar even knew about the brand, you know, around the Straight Outta Compton days. Everything is, you know, on our Instagram, on our Twitter, on our Facebook. So go check it out.
Definitely, man. So, I mean, in terms of the City of Grind. Oh, go ahead, King. Go ahead, King.
Yeah, I was going to ask him about and going into his background about Compton and you know, what part of Compton. Now, in comparison to how they portrayed it, because we looking from the East Coast, and you know, you being a resident there, I wanted to shoot this to you. Was it really like the Wild Wild West, like they portrayed it, like in the 80s, 90s growing up?
So you talking to a Compton kid that has been in every part of Compton. My dad was basically working for the Compton School District, which is the UPS for Compton. And he had his son and his, you know, younger son, which is my brother. We went to all different schools. So we went to Crip schools. We went to Blood schools. When even Kendrick, that Vanguard Learning Center, my teacher that he shouted out, I believe, on the Grammys, that taught him his vocabulary. We had the same teacher. His name is Regis Ings, Mr. Ings. So that was, I never took on the game, but I knew of gangs. I knew every, you know, big dog. I knew things of that nature, but I came into every school as a basketball player. So overlooking, you know, what was going on, because, yeah, I believe it was the Wild Wild West. But me and them knowing of what I do, I kind of was able to, you know, make it through just off being a good basketball player, because once I entered a new school, I ended up going to the Blacktop. That was where, maybe in the corner shooting dice, maybe in the corner, you know, doing this and doing that. But they came to the basketball court. They came to the football field, you know, things of that nature. So for me personally, I've been, I believe, preschool, 1990. I've been in Compton School District since 12th grade. So preschool all the way to 12th grade, I know every side of Compton. But yes, it was the Wild Wild West, but it was only if you knew about it and if you were in the streets. Yes, I was in the streets, but I knew how to remove myself when it was time.
Yeah, man. You know, one thing about it, Ty, is that, you know, when you look at it, you know, it's, you know, when you look at West Coast hip-hop culture, and Compton specifically, of course, Ice-T, you know, was really, you know, even taking, even before Ice-T, I mean, even, you know, I mean, taking it to the radio. I mean, y'all had K-Day. I mean, of course, you know, you have places like the Palladium. I mean, of course, you have legends like Mixmaster Spade, you know, Toddy T, you know, all these individuals. You know, N.W.A. in 88, you know, was pretty much where we all got our exposure to really seeing how, you know, over 30 years later, Straight Outta Compton is still a monumental release in hip-hop music. And it opened up the door for, you know, really West Coast artists. Of course, King T, you know, will release his debut that same year, Act a Fool. You know, I mean, this would open up the, you know, this would, of course, open up the door for Compton's Most Wanted, you know, Straight Checking Them. You know, it's a, well, actually, it was a Compton thing. I believe Straight Checking Them was the second album. But that was when his debut dropped in 89. You know, of course, you know, DJ Quick, you know, he would drop his, I believe, in 92. Quick is the name. You know, I mean, we're seeing this whole new wave of street music coming to the game, of everybody really getting to tell their stories. But, I mean, it's deeper than the streets because, you know, it's deeper than the music because the streets really, what is it about growing up out in Compton that brings the infinite genius, the resolve, the toughness, the tenacity, the art of hustle, and the will to succeed, you know, because y'all are like just, y'all just like a different breed out here.
I think what I could specifically say is what our brand is, which is the grind. And every particular city, they have their own grind, and that's what City of Grind is all about. It's not just a clothing line. It will be more than just that. We will go into entertainment. We will go into filming. We'll go into music. We'll athletics. You know, the whole nine. But specifically, what I think Compton is a grind that has to deal with a success that a lot of people can't fathom or dream about, and in so many. It's a crab in a bucket type situation. But I believe if everyone just stick to self and understand self as far as a purpose, we all are making. And that's what I want this brand to be, because I feel that the clothing is branching out. And City of Grind Compton is just where we're from, where we started. But we want to go into the East Coast. It's City of Grind, New York. It's City of Grind, Chicago. You know, City of Grind, Flint, Michigan. It's all that and above. We even going overseas. You know, the things that we have is what Dre instilled. You know, he asked us, you know, looking for other cities. And we did that because, you know, City of Grind is Compton, City of Grind, Compton. But it will be more than just that. And I think grind is what brings out everyone in that city. It's just nonstop grind on to what you believe in as far as athletic, music, and those are, you know, the popular ones. But it's a lot of gems and a lot of needle in a haystack type of people in the city of Compton, and we see a lot blossom, we see a lot don't, but they might be corrupted within, you know, the gangs, the streets, and that nature. But I do believe, you know, something like our brand and anything else that's created in a positive light to show that Compton is better than what it is that they portray in the news, you know, that's what we, or at least us, come in to play. Because we want to start that within this new generation. You know, we're in the 2000s, 2020. So, you know, 2021 and on, we plan to, you know, change the perception.
Definitely.
You was talking about the crabs in the bucket, and that's one hurdle that a lot of entrepreneurs have to deal with. Another challenge is the challenge of being a black clothing designer, because, you know, we live in a culture today where hero fashion is always being praised as up and up. So has that been a challenge for you guys to maintaining your brand and getting it out there?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that we learned, because like I said, everything started 5-6 years ago. So 2015, you know, I don't even think Snapchat was a big thing. And that's where the blow up, it kind of started there as far as others knowing and us coming into, you know, learning our lesson and lesson learned and things of that nature. My younger brother took a picture of me and Dre and just said, we working, or I think he said, we working right now, something of that nature. It got, I want to say, thousands of views, but this is the first time Snapchat is even presented to us. I asked him, what is Snapchat? What did you post? Why are people calling me? Once that started up, I remember Dre knowing and seeing us bring different people to the meetings, different friends, different teammates that was, you know, from Dominguez, all that. And I remember him emailing us and saying, you know, everyone can't be in our world because of certain hurdles that we had to get over, certain things he heard. He invited us to a club one time. You know, we talked to a certain amount of people. They may have gave him information that, you know, we talked about. Friends may have said certain things. So us understanding that, you know, certain friends, certain family can be business partners, things of that nature, we learned that it's best to, you know, progress but also rebuild. And that's where we're at right now with the rebuilding the brand and understanding that, you know, it's certain people that could come to the round table, but they have to understand that, you know, we all are a team. And, you know, even when I played basketball, I was a point guard, so I tend to give the assist before I shoot the shot. But understand that I can't shoot the three, and I'll hit the shot. You know, I was known for the jumper, but I plan on giving assists, and that's why, you know, I believe I was put in a position to run the business, to run the company, and we're a corporation now. You know, we started off as an LLC. I remember Dre asking us, you know, for that LLC paperwork. You know, now we are a corporation when it comes to, you know, everything being trademarked. And, you know, our city logos that we will present, and, you know, what Dre had on. He wore that in Hollywood Reporter. So, you know, a lot of people seen that. And we want it to be rebuilt, rebranded, and something in a different light. So,
definitely. You know, one thing about it too, Ty, is dope is that you've also ingratiated yourself, and obviously because your family roots run so deep, you know, of course, shout out to Major, you know, Mayor Aja Brown, you know, because you all, you know, from what I understand, you know, your company, you know, you and her have also been hand-in-hand in terms of, like, really building the brand for the city and whatnot. You know, in terms of, you know, your journey with this, you know, from tell us about from you growing up in terms of, you know, your introduction to hip-hop music, what started to interest you in fashion, and then, you know, you playing basketball. Who are some of your influences in terms of playing as you would, you know, end up, you know, being a star player?
Everything was always, for me, when it came to hip-hop, I want to say whatever was at the peak of that generation at that time. So I do know early 2000s, maybe when I first dived into hip-hop, it was for sure Tupac. And, of course, we go into Biggie and you know, Jay-Z, Nas, and we come back to the West Coast where it's Ice Cube and, you know, Easy, things of that nature. So I bounced in and out when it came to the 90s, but when it came into the 2000s, it was, you know, whatever the YGs and the Bow Wow,
yeah,
and, you know, Ludacris and things of that. It was just so much going on and newer people coming into the game that I think the fashion where it was the big clothes, but now the big clothes are coming back, but it's more of a, you know, Kanye West feel, and it's not to where it's so baggy, but it's fittable. And, you know, that's how I looked at fashion, because I was always a comfortable type of guy, but I knew when it was time to dress and put on the suit, and I always looked at growing up for the occasion. So I knew how and when. But I knew once I had that Compton logo on, or I had something that I could relate to, I knew that that stood out more to people. So every time, you know, once I put on a piece of my item when I was in middle school at PE, or, you know, maybe in high school at practice one time, or, you know, going to college and, you know, I had one of my bomber jackets on. So I seen the difference of, oh, what are you wearing versus, you know, wearing normal polo T-shirt or, you know, a pro club or any type of other item. I knew that someone always wanted to know what that was. And once I gave a story behind it, I feel that others could do that with the clothing that comes from us for their city. So anyone in New York, you know, we wouldn't come talking West Coast, we will actually come and try to fill out, you know, the East, and that's so on and so forth for all overseas and other countries and things of that nature too. We want to branch out and just see other grinds, because, you know, Compton grind, and we do grind, but we know other cities have, you know, their own particular grind.
You know, and it's special because, you know, one thing about California for what y'all did, especially, you know, y'all just introduced the style, you know, in terms of it, like the khakis, you know, y'all, you know, I mean, you know, everybody, you know, the franchise boys talk about, you know, I bang in my white tee, but the fact is y'all had the white tees really exclusively first. You know, that's something that was really like, really one of the major staples. You know, you got your Chucks, your Dickies, you know, your Crease, whether you watch your Crease jeans, you know, you got your Loafs on, you got your tees, you know, you all really, you know, in terms of the Carhartt, you know, even with the Carhartt, you know, jacket, you know,
sure.
Shout out to Boss, you know, Yo-Yo, you know,
sure.
And Yo-Yo did a West Side Story video. I mean, her, Nick Knack, all of them, they was rocking it, you know.
Right.
And,
I thought a great contrast balance, because everybody, especially out here, we was thinking that L.A. was mostly known for the Raider hats and the silver and black.
Yeah.
You guys in there and y'all bringing that balance, and it showed that, okay, L.A. guys got some style with it, too. Like, you know, they can dress real fly like the New Yorkers do, down south.
And what we want to do and continue to do is branch out as far as style, because we understand that, you know, even out in Cali and what we've been talking to our manufacturers about, yeah, we want to throw some Dickies in there, but the thing about it is when you put City of Ryan Compton on there, that's for, you know, the West. But when we come down to New York and Chicago and the colder areas, we want to come out with them big, you know, North Face jackets and the whole, you know, the bubble vests and things of that nature. That's how we want to come for City of Grind New York, City of Grind Chicago, things of that. Even when we go overseas, you know, if we do City of Grind Paris, we might want to come with, you know, one of them tailored suits or something like that. So it's more about where we land and what that culture represents, because yeah, we might have on, you know, some Compton stuff, but at the end of the day, we prefer to present that to the West. And then, you know, the East, the South, anybody rocking with it, please support. We love that. But we would want you to support, you know, what y'all style is and what y'all represent, because then when you walk around where you live at, you can still say City of Grind, you know, New York, City of Grind Brooklyn, City of Grind, you know what I'm saying? So that's how we want the approach to be, because we understand that all cities have their own particular grind. And when you throw on that item, man, you represent where you come from. Because I always remember playing basketball, it was tough for us to say that we were from Compton because we got that look of, oh, damn, you're in that Wild Wild West like you're talking about. So a lot of the times if we would go play in Inland Empire, I would see a lot of my teammates, you know, that ask, you know, what, because I remember them not remembering Dominguez, but they knew that, you know, the Tyson Chandlers and everybody had that name. But when we came, you know, sometimes we'll say we're from L.A. Realistically, we from Compton. You know, L.A. and Compton is two different things, but it was tough for us to kind of say that because we didn't want that perception. And that was us being young, but now we know as we were older, we would talk and say, and man, we should just went on and say we was from Compton because we know that it brings the attention that it might be negative, but once you get a feel of a me and a couple of my homies, you'll understand that it's more to just, you know, that negative side that you see on the news.
Okay.
You know what,
though? Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that when you was talking about Dre earlier, and that was one of the important imposters, you know, getting your clothing line out there. I'm like, people don't understand how much of a treasure Dr. Dre really was when he came to not only doing work for the West Coast, but also Compton itself. Like, he brought Game into the news like the early 2000s, and after that, Kendrick Lamar. I mean, it's just like the Generation C just keeps going forward, and he's been one of the launching pads because of that.
Right, and I know the light that's on him right now might be not as positive as we all remember him to be, but I do want everyone to understand that what he did for us, he didn't have to. And like I said, my name being Tyree, I do know that that had an effect on him as far as we all kind of know what happened to his younger brother. So for him to believe in the vision first and hear me out, because all we did was talk. All I did was ask for advice. I didn't ask for nothing more. I just simply said that you have any advice on moving forward with this brand and what I represent for the brand and what I represent for Compton. We both from this city, so I just wanted you to understand I love it just as much as you do. And I was brought up from, like I told you, preschool through 12th grade. I've been here. So for him to show the love and understand that I was overwhelmed with at least just pre-orders. When I tell you that people wanted, you know, what I kind of created in a sense, it was like, man, him knowing that it was bigger than what we thought it was, love and support, man. And I just want people to understand that, you know, he didn't have to do that. And even the things that he did after that as far as, you know, Kendrick knowing and Game knowing. And then, like I said, even athletes like DeMar DeRozan and just knowing that Dre, you know, put that stamp on it first, made others understand that it was a legendary thing, and it's not over. You know what I mean? It's just more of a we rebrand, and now we will be releasing in the next couple months.
And yo, I mean, and Ty, I'm gonna say it because I'm jealous of y'all of the Dominguez. Because I remember when Tyson Chandler was rocking that basketball, y'all basketball unis, and I think y'all had the Jordan joint on there.
Yeah, hey man, and the Nike. I actually got some shorts, man. I remember the day we was all able to, like, you know, just get some shorts before we graduated. Like, I think a few people grabbed some jerseys. It was just, you know, it being from Nike, being from Jordan, like, they did their thing, man, on the design. And they had the old school throwback 90 seal, you know, real legendary type jersey. So, you know, it was a lot of thought into that design. And, you know, that's what made me even think about, you know, going further in clothing. On the entrepreneurial side, I looked at the jerseys and this is fly. This embroidery, this, you know, stitching, this, you know, the way they put this and that, you know, the cut and sew. So
yeah, and y'all had that. Y'all, this is going back to like the early 2000s, you know, because of course a lot of the high schools, you know, y'all pretty much getting this before this really became commonplace in terms of it. Because I'm a Nike guy, Nike and Jordan till I die. You know, but y'all were, like, getting that, you know, out there. You know, y'all were, like, getting all the, like, the custom stuff back then, you know. And then, you know, years as it went by, you know, a lot of the schools, you know, a lot of companies like Adidas, Under Armour, they saw it as a bigger market to brand themselves, you know, because when we look at it from AAU ball, you know, how a lot of these, you know, guys are signing with some of these shoe contracts, they're building it from high school relationships in terms of who their sponsors were.
Yeah, and like you, how you said with you just being, you know, Nike Jordan guy, I remember the day Nike came to the school and presented us Nike ID, and that was when you were able to put your initial, put your number. I remember they gave, because I don't know, I believe Dre or his camp, this is before I even met Dre, sent computers to all high schools, because, you know, Dre went to Centennial High, so he didn't just look out for Centennial High, you know, he looked out for Compton High and Dominguez. So we had a setup with computers, and it was just a lot, and it was to where Nike came, they said, go on the computer, and we all as a team made our own shoes, put our numbers on them, and that's when I knew I was going to always rock Nike. I got Nikes on right now. I got the ones on right now. So it's just like, you know, that day made me know that I will forever mess with Nike, Jordan, the whole night. So that was a pretty cool experience.
Ty, I'm going to have to send you some of the pictures of my Nike of my Nike shit too, man. Because it's like,
yeah,
you know, shout out to the swoops, man. Just do it. You know, one thing about it, Ty, you know, and King and myself, you know, we're a little older, and we've seen so much of the fashion, you know, develop in terms of, I mean, when we look at, you know, like I said, we look at brands like Two Black Guys from Toronto, African American College Alliance, of course, you know, Damaged Jeans, you know, Naughty Buys, you know, Dirty Wear, you know, Snoop Dogg's Doggy, Snoop Dogg Clothing Company, you know, M&M's, you know, clothing line.
Shady Wear.
You know,
Shady
Wear. Yep. Thank you, King.
Yep.
You know, FUBU. You know, when you look at it, how important, and can't forget, you know, Carl Kanai. Shout out to Carl Kanai. You know, and even
he
Puff Daddy, you know,
actually is,
okay.
Carl Kanai is actually doing my brother is actually one of his popular models, so. You know, it was me and my brother who met Dr. Dre, but my younger brother, I'm pretty sure you talked to him. I know you guys spoke to a few different people in the DM, but might have been my younger brother. And he turned me on the call as far as, like, Tupac was rocking. And, you know, the whole it was a super 90s thing, you know what I mean? So for him to be modeling for them, they're a big deal. Even FUBU, you know, and Dame, you know, just – watching and meeting Dame Dash, him telling us that we got to do our own cutting. So it's a lot of people that, you know, played a role. It was just that, you know, Dre really, you know, took on the vision all the way. But the people that we met going forward, you know, they put a few gems on us.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a great story, Ty, because just back in the day, Carl Kanai talked about, you know, because Pop was one of the first rappers. You know, I won't say he was one of the rappers to really, really, really dig it up. He looked back at some of those Spice and Word Up magazine photo shoots that he did. You know, Pop was watching it exclusively. And, you know, they were talking about, I think at one time, I think the story went, you know, Carl was asking Pop about how much did he want for an endorsement in terms of, you know, how much. And Pop was like, what would I look like charging another black man to wear something made by a black man? He's like, I support no matter what. He's like, you don't have to pay me anything. You can't say no to a classic, girl. You know, but that's just what Pop was. He was about the people, you know. What is the, when we've seen a lot of fashions, Ty, come and go over the years, what is the most important, how do you see, especially from not only fashion but hip-hop culture, how the styles change and how some lines tend to kind of, like, you know, stay around and some, you know, go by the wayside. Like, you could rock a pair of Rockaware jeans today and it's still going to be fashionable. You could rock a pair of Sean John jeans today and it'll still be fashionable. You know, even cross colors has made a comeback over the years. Where is the line that comes between the delineation between where it's kind of played out to where it's vintage fresh and then timeless classic?
So vintage fresh versus timeless classic, I believe, is who wears the item. And I'm only speaking for that is because of our experience. Because Dr. Dre put it on, it seemed as though that everything else flowed as far as other entertainers and athletes and, you know, artists and musicians, things of that nature. I think the classic and what won't go out as far as a FUBU and Carcana is because Tupac threw that on. And, you know, like it was a person that made it so fly to where their music and wearing that brand made it classic. And I feel that, let's just say an artist, I don't want to throw nobody a bad artist name out there, but let's just say a certain artist that wasn't as popular as a Tupac or a Jay-Z, when they wore it, it faded away because they faded away. Their popularity faded away. Their music. So I really feel like a vintage classic type of item is someone seen it and they fell in love with either that moment, what they heard, how they seen that picture, maybe that music video. I think that's how the classic item stays around and won't go away, because Jay-Z invented the Rockaware item. So he's so still relevant to where I think that's why you can still throw in a pair of Rockawares, and it's because of him. And any other item that was set in stone in a moment that we all remember.
Yeah, it's all about it's all about the artists and their stamp power is what makes those stand out for a long period of time. It's like even y'all, I don't know if y'all remember when LL did the freestyle for the Gap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As you can see, the Gap is still around.
Yeah.
LL
yeah.
was so real with this, he actually propped up Boo Boo doing that freestyle.
So,
yeah, and I mean, I mean, one thing about it, man, is there's no better branding, you know, than having artists or just celebrities in general, you know, than having that branding. It's a shame, you know, because, and we can only speak on this on Off the Cuff Radio because this is documented. You know, it's just, you know, it's sad about what happened with LL and FUBU, because he has said that FUBU did not, you know, they didn't pay him, you know, in terms of, you know, he was never, you know, properly compensated for being their pitch man. And, you know, of course, you know, if you look at any hip-hop magazine in the 90s, you know, LL was rocking FUBU, you know, heavy. Of course, you know, Boss Jeans, I think, as well, for those that really think it's like FUBU. You know, but, you know, fashion is just so, you know, what you said, Ty, about how, you know, fashion is about who rocks it. Because when we, you know, when we grew up, you know, we were young, you know, young heads growing up out on the East Coast, you know, and for some of us, like, you know, with the Carhartt, the Timberland jackets, you know, that was kind of a New York thing, you know. You know, I'm in Virginia myself, Hampton Roads area. And, you know, it was kind of always a thing. But, you know, in the 90s, we really saw the upkick more. I mean, we think about, King, remember those Pelly jackets back in the day?
Yeah.
Man.
Like, if you had a Pelly, you would ball. Like, you were doing it.
Man.
But to see the changes, I mean, you know, starter jackets, you know, but it's wild, man, because when you look at how fashions can change, you know, at one point, you know, starter, you know, like starter over the, like, the past 7-8 years has really made a comeback. You know, at one point, you know, a no shade to Starter. You know, Starter was actually, I remember when Starter was at, you know, Kmart at one time, you know, because, you know, the buzz had kind of died off. Machino was actually, I believe, sold in Target, but I think Machino has actually gotten himself back to being a big brand. But I know Machino had actually went to Target at one time because I think the company was on financial dire straits. And they, you know what I'm saying, they actually had to sell it, you know, because when you get into those situations and it turns into something that ultimately, you know, you got to get the money somehow. And Target, of course, had money and they were selling it there. But sometimes it's unfortunate, you know, in terms of rebranding your product, sometimes you can actually, you know, kick it out in terms of it can actually fire up again, you know. But when we look at, you know, just, you know, like when we look at some of the shoes, we look even diversified into shoes, you know, in terms of like, you know, even the high end wear. As a fashion designer, you know, as a company owner, in terms of where you start seeing the more high end stuff, where do you think, where did you start seeing from your side of the fashion spectrum? Because you've always been interested in clothes. When did you start, when did you know, like, when did you start feeling like that's when we start seeing the high-end stuff like Gucci and Louis Vuitton and all that really come into play where it became more commonplace in the hip-hop culture?
I would say after 2005, maybe, probably going into the 2010. So I would say about 10 years ago, maybe 11 years ago. And the only reason why I say that is because it was still a preference of how you wore the item. So if Starter was as popular, but then they ended up in Target, that's what made a lot of people not wear it because you're shopping at Target per se versus you going to a mall, just in general, not an upscale mall, but just a mall. Because if you go and shop
right.
at a mall, then you can go into buying what's not at Target. So because Starter isn't in the mall anymore and it's specifically, you know, well-sold in Target, it devalues Starter now. Although Starter comes back now in vintage stores. So if you go downtown L.A., you know, you can go to one of those strips, I believe it's a First and La Brea or something like that. And those are where the older snapback Starter vintage items are, and then they sell it at a higher price knowing that it's a vintage item versus, you know, you buying it in Target. So I think the value goes down once it's not an item that you can buy at a vintage store that not a lot shop at. So more or less once it ends up, you know, at a Target or at a Kmart or things of that nature, that's even with Shaq shoes, you know, Shaq going to Payless, you know, if Shaq may have just stayed in Foot Locker versus making it a Payless shoe, it wouldn't have devalued Shaq as a brand to where, you know, his athletics was matching, you know, a Michael Jordan. But when it comes to Michael Jordan, you know, he keeps his shoe selling in a store at a higher price and a value that, you know, presents it as a vintage shoe versus Shaq saying, you know, I want everyone to wear this shoe. And that devalues him because, you know, a certain amount of people have a certain color of a Jordan that, you know, isn't sold in so many other places. So I just think that's what is the change for the high fashion. But high fashion came very, very late in the 2000s. I would say when I first seen a high fashion situation was once rappers began to sort of rap about it. And I would say the early times of a Wiz Khalifa, the early times of a Gucci, a Boosie, that's when, you know, they presented or talked about, you know, a Gucci or Louis Vuitton, but it didn't become popular until the baggy clothes kind of went away and more of the fitting, you know, you get your correct size item instead of you being a, you know, a medium, you buying a 2X because that's the style. And, you know, right. I remember those days, especially in middle school. You know, if your shirt was, you know, your true size, you'd get clowned. Believe you me, especially at lunch, you know, I always knew that, you know, I wasn't a fan of the baggy clothes, but I didn't buy a medium shirt. You know, for sure I had an extra large on, although the bigger your clothes were back at that time, you know, the flyer you were. And that style has came back, but like I said, if Kanye West is doing it, it's a baggy style, but it's more of a fittable type of look. So it's going to be to where the item or the style comes back, but it's about the value of it and how you put it out, because Kanye West could sell those sweats at a Target, but believe you me, that sweatsuit won't be $15,000. You know, it'll be $15.
Yeah, and it's wild, man, when you think about it, because when we look at it in terms of how, you know, everything changes, because I remember even back in the day, you know, even with Jordans, you know, Jordans, you know, were, you know, always, you know, were really sought after in the 80s and 90s, because this conversation goes in so many different directions in terms of marketing, but even Jordans at one time, you know, kind of, you know, were, you know, the shoe market was kind of in a place where once shoes have always been fashionable, but at one time, but it was a point where, like, it wasn't necessarily, I mean, this is before, like, the internet really takes over, like, you know, of course, with shout out to the blogs like Nice Kit, you know, and Flight Club and all that, you know, so this is, like, not even really in the consciousness of the, you know, what we now call the sneakerhead community in terms of, like, where this really becomes, like, sought after, you know. I remember buying some Jordans at the mall for, like, $90, you know, because
yeah,
there were certain colors. Yeah, like, certain colors, like, you know, they weren't really, like, moving. Like, I remember this was years ago, I got, like, the pine green 14, and I had some shorts. I still do, the pine green Jordan shorts, the Black Forest. I still have them. But I wasn't going to pay all the money for them, but I just waited a while, and they went down in price. And I got them. You know, yeah. One thing about what you said with Shaq, with his shoes, it's wild because I remember in 1992, and shout out to Shaq, you know, an L.A. legend, of course, playing with the Lakers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you know, Shaq talked about, you know, when he, you know, he always talked about how in terms of his NBA money, he has never spent any of his NBA money. All his money he's ever spent has been from his endorsements, most notably the Reebok when he first got with them. But, you know, one thing about it, they've always said in terms of marketing, in terms of big men, because of the perceived athleticism and just all, like, you know, the wild, you know, the freaking it on the court, big men are kind of mobile and stationary and more powerful. So historically, it's always been hard to sell big man shoes. Like, Reebok, of course, you know, dropped Shaq, I believe, in 99. Dwight Howard was with Adidas, but he never really was able to really break through in terms of being a pitch man. So a lot of times, it does have a lot to do in terms of your marketing machine, and also even being a player in general. You know, when you see guys like Steph Curry, you know, who, you know, was with Nike, but he, you know, switched to Under Armour, you know. And I guess sometimes when you see endorsements, you see a lot of these guys come out of school, and, you know, their thing is, you know, Nike's backstock for the next 300 years. You know, who are signed, they just want to rock it. But you see a lot of young guys come out and they want to get their names branded right away. How do you see it in terms of when you are an endorser, how you pick the brand that you want to endorse in terms of having you be the face of that franchise?
I think when it comes to, you know, endorsing, it's about really understanding the vision, because I'm going to only speak from experience. And,
right.
You know, a lot of the times that I ever introduced my idea before it even became a brand, it was to present it as you understanding the long haul, not so much to get rich quick, because I never looked at it as, you know, a money thing. I more looked at it as a change the world thing, because we have to change the perception of, you know, what the news present. I never was a Channel 7 news guy, Channel 2 news. I wasn't into it because it was always presenting what's the next negative thing that's going on in the city. And that's any city, you know, out in any city, they will talk about, you know, what's going on in L.A., but then they present something that went on in the next state or city, and it's negative. And I always thought in my mind that it has to be a different perception, and we have to find a way to bring that out. And I just feel like, you know, what I'm doing and how I'm doing it, it's all about, you know, presenting a better positive light in all cities, and specific cities would be a, you know, Compton or any type of city that's, you know, presented in a light that's negative. And I just feel that the way that you endorse something is first you have to understand what the vision presents, and if it's in a positive light, that's where you go into the investing. And even putting in your 2 cents, if it's a positive 2 cents to put in, but just more or less understanding of the vision person.
Yeah, you know, and from that end of it too, when you watch a lot of guys who come in, you know, like you said, money is so important, because money is not everything, you know, but you got a situation with some of these guys where they don't always look at it from a perspective of, you know, and I don't want to be hating when I say this, because I, you know, he's one of the greatest players ever, you know, born and raised in, you know, Virginia. You know, I love him, Iverson. You know, I've always said this, that Iverson should have signed with Nike, because Nike, in terms of their marketing team, how, you know, especially with the – we all know the story about what happened with AI in terms of, you know, how he got caught up legally, but by the grace of God, he got out of it. But there was still a lot of there was still a lot of stuff, you know, about him. And from that end of it, you know, I still feel like with him, he should have been in a Nike would have done the best for him in the sense of marketing. And from there, you know, he went with Reebok because Reebok offered more money up front.
And just speaking on AI, you know, I remember growing up with one of my favorite cousins, and him just, you know, being an AI fan, me being a Kobe fan, you know, rest in peace, Kobe, Black Mamba. But I really just understood him as far as being a fan, because AI was so nice. But just think, if he had Nike backing him, he would be a CP3. You know what I mean? Because CP3 is who he is under Nike. You know what I mean? Actually, I think he's under Jordan, but Jordan and Nike the same thing. But it's just CP3 is a CP3. We know him as CP3 because the backing of Nike and what they did for him. And I just know that, you know, AI career would have been a CP3 type of career, you know, if he had been a backing of a Nike. Although, you know, he's still a Hall of Famer. You know, AI one of the greatest points. And like I said, it was one of my favorite cousins who was a fan, and this is one of my cousins who I grew up with that I could never understand. Bro, you live in LA. Why aren't you? You know what I mean? Lakers fan, you know, the whole nine. But it's more or less that he rode for AI so hard, and it was the skill and the style and the fashion and what he brought to, you know, the basketball atmosphere.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is, Ty, in terms of, like you said, the style, you know, because, of course, he was the first to really rock. He was the first to rock cornrows, get a tattoo. He brought hip-hop fashion to the NBA because, you know, some would say, you know, he brought that. The street ball has always been an element of the game, you know, of course, us, you know, all playing out on the blacktop, you know, on the praise ground, you know, that's the street. Hip-hop and basketball have an intrinsic link with each other, especially when you look at the demographics of the inner city in terms of who plays. But one thing about it is that he really made it cool to say, I'm from the hood, and you know, this is who I am, you know, as a guy, as a black man, as a man from the hood, you know, and I'm proud of my heritage in terms of where I came from in the streets, you know, and I'm not going to shy away from it, but that level of, you know, it's funny because a lot of times when you're dealing in corporate atmospheres, they want everything to be palatable to the public, but the reality is you cannot shun the people who push your brand. They need, it's almost disingenuous to ask them to work for you in a market that is so much predicated on branding, and then you're trying to suppress them as individuals.
And they lose themselves, man. And you don't,
yeah.
You don't want a person to lose their self because the fans and the people that follow them, it trickles down. And, you know, I mean, when AI was hurting, please believe, my cousin and many others was hurting with him as far as, you know, the things that happened to him on the court, the things that happened to him, you know, with Reebok, all of the above. It was just, you know, I think what he had to do for self was understand that, you know, I need to do what's best for self, because if he does that, then everything else and his followers and fans would do better for themselves. So it was best in his interest to do what he did for himself. And like we said, he's still a Hall of Famer at the end of the day.
Yeah, you know, and I guess I always look at it from a perspective of, I mean, you know, bias being a Nike guy, but I've always said it's good, but I'm never going to hate on nobody getting any money. You know what I mean? You know, shout out to James Harden. You know, he got that $200 million from Adidas, you know. You know, and he's another one that's going to be a Hall of Famer, you know. You know, I mean, you know, when you look at you know, when someone's going to give you the money, you go get it. But I guess, like you said, you always have to know about how they're going to push you in terms of it. But you got to think long game. You know, when you look at Michael Jordan back in the day, he wanted to sign with Adidas, but Adidas didn't think he was tall enough. You know, and look, and you know, Nike, he didn't even want to sign with Nike. And Nike was like, we're, you know, because his mother told him, you're going to go to Oregon because they're offering to talk to you, and you're going to listen to what they got to say, and the rest is history. Michael goes there, loved the sales pitch they gave him, and bam. I mean, even with LeBron back in the day, you know, Reebok, you know, I think the story went. For those that don't know, just on Off the Cuff Radio, we love documentaries. We shamelessly promote people who got dope shit. Check out ESPN's 30 for Good 30 Shoeman about, you know, with Sonny Vaccaro, who was, used to work for Nike, now with Adidas. But they also tell the different stories about a lot of those guys who were pitchmen in terms of how, you know, guys who, how they got their contracts. But they said, I think with LeBron, after they did his pitch with Reebok, they left him alone. They left him with a check for like $10 million. And all he had to do was just sign it. You know, and, but he was like, no, I'm going to wait, you know, and see what Nike does. So this is when Nike comes in. If I get the story right, they call me T-Max for the fact, but I can be wrong too, but if that's my recollection, that's how the story went. So Nike offers him $90 million on a contract. And I think Adidas was in the market too, but Adidas got cold feet about matching it, so they chose not to match it. So that's why they didn't match. And LeBron ended up signing with Nike.
And this is high school LeBron.
Yeah, this is high school LeBron, because he was already, like, they said in terms of what, when he came out of St. Matt, you know, St. Mary's Academy in 2003. Yeah, you got to remember, he was already, since the age of 15, he had already been on that level. You know, so it was not a matter of, you know, him getting the money. It was just when he was going to get it. It was just who he was signed with, because they talked about the sneaker wars with him was insane. You know, but you know, Nike, he ended up signing with Nike, and you know, of course, a few years ago he signed his lifetime deal, which they said will probably pay him over $1 billion for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
But when you look at what he's done, I don't think anybody could have marketed him as well. I know sometimes there's just, like Michael Corleone said, ties, business, never personal. I know the situation with Kanye about what happened with Nike years ago, why he severed ties with Nike, because he said Nike really didn't give him like a cut of the percentage of sales like he wanted, and then also, too, they didn't give him like the complimentary pack to give to his friends. And that's why he signed Adidas, because he was like, Adidas gave him more of what he wanted.
Like creative control, in a sense.
Yeah, creative control and everything of that regard. You know, but it's all about when you have a vision. You know, some will call you crazy with a vision. Just like, you know, of course, another Compton alumni, you know, Venus and Serena Williams with their father Richard, who said they were going to be the greatest, his girls were going to be the greatest tennis players ever. And everybody said he was crazy. And guess what? Venus and Serena are two of the greatest ever, arguably the greatest ever.
Not
only say arguably, because, you know, that's no shade to them, but it's just, you know, because it's all, you know, when you look at stats, everybody's going to say that it's arbitrary, but I'm like, but when you look at it, in terms of what those girls have accomplished, you know, they did that. Yeah, top tier. And signed with Nike after a minute. You know, but they knew in terms of the long game where it was going to go in terms of the impact they would have even after they retired. You know, Kobe, after his Adidas contract was up, he signed with Nike. You know, and rest in peace, MGG. Yeah, you know what I mean? But that was like a big deal, you know, and he got like, you know, of course he got in a situation that was clear, you know, it was adjudicated, you know, which basically cleared him of any wrongdoing, you know, because he never was found guilty of anything, you know, but he, you know, but even then, Kobe was like doing his sneaker wars in terms of, there was a, well, sneaker things in terms of how he was wearing stuff with different companies. You know, he even had a couple of that's what the Iversons made for him. But, you know, if you look at the market now, telling a lot of these young kids coming in terms of what they're striving for, in terms of being athletes, having a vision to achieve and everything, what would you tell them today?
Repeat the question. I'm sorry.
If you're looking at the market today in terms of endorsements and telling the kids, what they have in mind in terms of what they want to do in terms of their dreams of, you know, design of being an athlete and just understanding what comes with it?
I think I really want the listeners to understand this, and don't take it the wrong way, and I don't want it to sound bad, but whatever you're thinking and how you want the vision to be, you're right. Don't let no one tell you you're wrong. You're right, because I feel certain opinions will articulate the vision, the dream, and the aspirations that you have. So what you're thinking, continue and take advice, add to your vision, but don't stray away from what you're thinking, because understand that in your mind, you're right. But please take criticism the right way. Please add to the advice that you get, but don't stray away from what you're thinking and what you have a vision for, because as soon as someone says that that isn't the right thing to do, understand that it might be. So I just want people to understand that. Push through everything that you're thinking, because 9 times out of 10, if you stray away from it, it might be one of those steps that backtrack you another year, another 2 years, and things of that nature. Because I'm in year 6 of this brand and going on 7, and I've been through a lot of ups and downs, but the lesson learned were golden to understand that it's key to push through. And pushing through means, you know, yeah, I took advice, I took opinions, and I may have listened to them, but understood that the success I want in life has to be according to, you know, the vision that I have from day one. So just keep that in mind. And, you know, what you're right, period. And keep that mindset to the degree of understanding criticism, but also taking the opinions, make a note of it, and keep pushing through.
Definitely. Now, another LA alum, although he's not from Compton, he is still loved, respected, and just so sorely missed. The late, great Nipsey Hussle, you know, the marathon man himself. How inspirational, because you and his, you know, clothing lines in terms of, y'all kind of intersected in terms of when y'all were really started in earnest with y'all movement. They intersected each other. What was it like to see Nipsey from that time all the way back in the early 2000s really, like, start to engage with music and then branch it out into, you know, the marathon brand with the clothing and ultimately the store? What was that like for all of y'all to see that?
So, I never got a chance to meet Nipsey, and I understood that, you know, him being in the city and me not, you know, being able to at least shake hands and say what's up to him, that's always something, you know. Because, you know, I looked up to Kobe, too, but I was able to actually go to a game I seen him play. You know, I was blessed enough for, you know, my parents to, you know, be able to support and give me that chance to, you know, meet one of my, you know, heroes. And Nip was one of those. But for me to not be able to meet, you know, that's something that I always kept, you know, close to my heart and in my mind. But when I first was introduced to Nip was around the time I was introduced to, you know, a YG and the Wiz Khalifa. This is when they first was coming out. This is about 2008 or 2009. And this is even when K-Dot was K-Dot. He wasn't, you know, Kendrick Lamar. This is
Sex
when everybody 80, was
like, Sex 80, like youngest head nigga in charge, Kendrick. You ain't think I knew about that mixtape, did you?
hey, this ain't Kendrick Lamar. This K-Dot. So this is
right,
when, you know, Nipsey and K-Dot had a song. Like, I'm just now entering college. I just graduated from high school. So being introduced to Nip, it was like, you know, when I first heard that song, it was kind of like being introduced to, you know, K-Dot and Wiz Khalifa, and this is the early them. So I first heard those, you know, underground songs, and I continued to follow, but the message is always a marathon message. It was always a push-through message. Yeah, he was talking about Crippin' and Rolling 60s and, you know, the whole nine, but behind that, it was always entrepreneurship. It was always create for, you know, our communities. It was always, you know, make sure that the business and what you have and your vision is key. And I always heard that in the music, although it was, you know, about what he grew up and what he seen in the streets. But as it grew, it transformed from me just listening to music to understanding that it's bigger than just the music. So I think what Nip did for me, and I clearly can speak for my generation when I say that we all followed him, clearly coming either out of high school, maybe middle school. I can speak for a little younger, which would be, you know, a 2000 baby, but it's to where once he came out of only being music and entrepreneurship, that's what he did for all of L.A., because now people understood that the message was an inspirational message. It was a motivational message. So after he started to jump out of the music and then own land and own his music and own his store, I believe that gave what we've seen as far as his funeral and him being broke through all of L.A. It was more than the music. It was that he understood that he had to inspire first. And in inspiring, you know, he gave all of us motivation. And the early demise was just something that gave us an understanding that it is a marathon, it must continue, but we appreciate him for at least giving all of us that push, that drive, and, you know, that motivation, because he's going to be legendary for that. Yes, his music was great, but legendary for being inspirational.
Definitely, you know, and one thing about it, I think, in terms of what he taught us, because, you know, one thing, especially out here on the East Coast, you know, I knew about him, you know, years ago, like before it really became popular to know who Nip was. But one thing about it is he saw the man in terms of, you know, what he really stood for in terms of how he was moving, you know, and the entrepreneurial spirit that he had, like, you know, about just really doing his thing. He was taken away from us much too soon because he had so much more to give us in terms of that motivation. Shout out to Gotti. You know, Gotti was one of Nip's video documentaries of Nipsey's career. And it actually showed Nip one of our clips, and Nip was rocking with it. We were in the process of trying to get Nip on the show. You know, and unfortunately, because it was he had called the clip that Saturday, and he was killed that Sunday the next day. So, you know, we were like, God damn.
And I heard so many stories like that because I felt like, even him, you know, coming and meeting with you guys, it was so many more other meetings that he had to attend to. And it was just like, damn, man, like, you know, I don't know too much about the politics, but I do understand as far as, you know, a L.A. thing is concerned. It was just like, you know, bro, you didn't have to do that. Like, and I say that to where I speak to everyone because It all comes back to the old days. Craig Dad said on Friday, you win some, you lose some, but you live to fight another day. You know what I mean? And it was simply Nip, square up. You know what I mean? Versus letting off because that was unnecessary and it wasn't needed for, you know what I mean? Especially from me knowing the story and the background of dude knowing of Nip and them growing up together. If that was a homie of mine, because I have a lot of friends that are famous, that are, you know, big time and doing their thing. If they diss me, I'm looking to get hands or at least square up. Let's catch a fair one so we could go home to our families after this. Shake on it, you got me, I got you, versus, you know, taking a life and not understanding the life that you took and what, it wasn't just L.A., it was his family too.
Right. Right, and, you know, there's a, you know, the situations, you know, there are things you hear, you know, but it's just speculatory, but even then it's like, still, that's, it should have never come to that in terms of what went down, you know. But it's, you know, but his loss, you know, is what resonates. But the impact he left is incredible in terms of how people are still moving, which is, you know, the marathon will continue. So we can't end the show yet because we still got a little bit of time left. But we got to get to it about the Compton documentary in terms of. It was not a when were y'all approached in terms of like how this would end up coming in terms of not only spotlighting your company but just everybody else like Compton AV, you know, Wacko, you know, really just breaking it down about the city. When did you all get the idea? When did you all hear about it that there was going to be a documentary about?
So the first, I believe, I want to say presentation to TV or any type of social media was when Dr. Dre Ward in his, I believe, interview for Hollywood Reporter. So if you were to go to our Instagram or our IGTV, it would show that exact Hollywood Reporter interview that Dr. Dre did in our sweater. From there, we went and we met with Game. He actually is a great basketball player. I don't know if anyone knows this, but he tends to play certain pickup games at certain high schools certain, I believe it's King. I don't know if you guys heard of Drew League, the basketball Drew League.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Drew. Yeah, dude, and I need to. First, I need to slap myself because, you know, I know about the Drew League. Shout out to Showtime some years ago when they did a documentary on the Drew League, which is sponsored by Nike again.
Yep.
And they did like
it was a great.
Oh God! I mean the footage where they did with Kobe and James Harden in that game, man, where they were going like basically a one on one with each other. I mean LeBron showed up for a game. I mean the Drew League is legendary out in L.A. Yeah, man.
Specifically. And the Drew League, the thing about that is, you know, game played in the Drew League, and they won tons of championships in the Drew League. So, you know, what was crazy about that is he was playing at, you know, the Hollywood High. I think it was Hollywood High School. So we went to the game, and one of my teammates was actually on the game's team. So he asked me to bring a few T-shirts, things of that nature. He was able to talk to the game, and we gave him a care package. He ended up wearing the T-shirt to, I believe it was the music video, Roped Off. And he wore a T-shirt in that video. When he did that, that also was filming the A&E documentary. And it went into going deeper into the brand and him being a part of the brand because we had a conversation about Dre and Kendrick wearing it. So Game was actually, you know, that third big dog as far as when it came to someone wearing our brand. And he took it further into, you know, the A&E atmosphere. So I believe it was Game that actually started off as far as the documentary concerned. But I do know Dr. Dre was one that was a Hollywood Reporter. And he actually, you know, presented our brand as far as, you know, Kendrick knowing, Game knowing, any other athlete knowing about it. So I do know Game took it into that, you know, documentary atmosphere.
That's dope, man. And it really shows about, like you said, you know, like you said, point guard, you know, like you said, from a point guard mentality, giving the assist. But that's like daggone, like, you know, Kobe throwing that assist to Shaq against the Blazers in the 2005 Western Conference Finals, you know, bringing the house down, you know, but one, as you've seen social media move in terms of marketing, how big has it been for y'all in terms of really, because that's how, you know, King and myself found out about y'all, you know, and, you know, I was, like, all over, like, you know, like, online just trying to find about, you know, a lot of artists, you know, that's how I found out about Compton, you know, AV, that's how, you know, found out about OG Suicide, you know, of course, Wacko. You know, you got, and I was like, you know, basically, you know, all through social media, you know, anything I could find with y'all, I was trying to, you know, contact, you know, because I like, even all the way from Virginia, man, I've always been a supporter of West Coast music, you know, from, you know, we've, on Off the Cuff Radio, we've been blessed to have so many, you know, West Coast friends, you know, which we consider family, you know, shout out to Dyer Lansky, Cocaine, you know, Brother Cam, you know, Sugar T, you know, it's just so many, you know, but, just me growing up, man, watching, you know, Compton's Most Wanted, you know, Compton's Righteous, you know, of course, Can't Forget That Track, and Winter AIDS Attack, you know, freaking that old Barry White sample, of course, Mr. Sinister, got to give a shout-out to the S.A.2, you know, OG Kid Paul, you know, Mellow Man 8. You know, but y'all just got a style out there, man, even with the, you know, and especially with the cars, man. Talk about the car culture out there in terms of the six-phone logo,
man, the car,
old school.
Man.
Hey, my apologies, y'all. What I miss out on?
Oh, you back?
Yeah,
back.
Man, we... Yeah, what up, man? Yeah, we were just talking about, you know, the sports, you know, in terms of how athletes get their endorsement contracts, you know, fashions in terms of high ends, everything, man.
All about the sports?
Yeah, the sports. And I wanted to put a short story out there about Compton AV and how you was talking about the social media and how you even found us. You know, the whole social media thing, it was like, you know, we met AV, or at least was able to present the brand at a YouTube space. And YouTube space is a area where all of the YouTubers and how the first presentation of Instagram and the connection of, you know, how you can link your YouTube videos, things of that nature. So us meeting AV there and telling him, you know, the vision of, you know, what we told Dre and Kendrick and the game, it was just, you know, social media brought a lot of attention to what we had going on. And, you know, like you said, you all being in Virginia, we just respect the love, man. We respect the support. We appreciate it because the whole ordeal of, you know, when it wasn't that long ago that Instagram was presented to us, but, you know, YouTube been around for a while, and us meeting AV there, branching out, you know, his cars are crazy, jumping into, you know, the styles of cars that he showed us, and, you know, his uncles and, you know, the lowriders. Man, it's crazy. My pops was into the lowriders. I know my pops told me he grew up with Tookie and all of them. So, you know, them being the bodybuilders, mm-hmm. lifting, you know, my dad fixed cars. So that was his way of not being involved in gangs. You know, he grew up, I believe, in Nutty Block. So that was where
Nutty Block Compton Crip. Yeah,
that's where they started the Crip. So my dad, in order for him not to be part of the brand new Crips, he fixed their cars. He fixed their lowriders. You know what I mean? That's what he told me, and I think that what brought light to me. Although I didn't fix cars, I played basketball. So that was my way of not joining, you know, the Crips or the Bloods or the things that I know. It was him telling me that story to understand that, okay, you know, I'm going to find something that I enjoy, and I'm going to do that, and I hope, you know, that these gangsters and these real, you know, these real OGs, to respect that, you know, I'm just an athlete. Like my dad said, I just fix cars, man. I'm going to get your lowrider. I'm going to get your drop top looking. You know, I'm going to get all that fixed up. And that was his thing. But he did lift weights with him. You know what I mean? He was in that, you know, that rim of what they did back in the day. But it was also his outlet to, you know, not be a part of, you know, that street mentality. And, you know, fixing cars was his thing. I've seen a couple of the cars that he got, you know, posted up around the house. So it was just cool to understand that car, because I've been to a few car shows. So just understanding that culture is something that's part of hip-hop, too.
Oh, yeah. And the lowriders. Lowrider culture. I mean, y'all played a heavy role. I'd say California and Texas that have car culture.
You can't forget the Bay Area. Shout out Bay and Texas. So. Yeah, I mean, but Texas, you know, with the slabs, you know, the candy paint, you know, straight dripping and all that. One thing about it, Ty, and I want to get back to this for a second in terms of with the gang culture, because, of course, rest in peace to Raymond, you know, and Tookie. You come from the jungle in terms of where, you know, it really gets down out there in terms of on the color, you know, like IT rocks about. What do a lot of these young kids coming in and a lot of these artists need to understand in the context of what it really means? Because you see a lot of rappers and entertainers trying to say they're on set and they haven't really, they're not from the hood and they're not living it like that. But over the years, it's become fashionable to claim colors. Well, back in the day, like, you really had to show you was, you know, from gang. You was on, you know, the block to really, you know, claim it.
What I really think it is, T, I really think it's about acceptance. And what I mean about acceptance as far as how I grew up and where I grew up at, you know, my thing was always, I'm going to just be the cool guy that play basketball. And that was my definition of me. And what I think about others is, you know, where I grew up, let me give you a small definition. Venus and Serena's sister passed away. I don't know if anybody heard Game rap about it before. I grew up right on that street, so it's called Greenleaf, and I think Dre rapped about it, but it's right behind Compton College. And that street that I live on or grew up on was called California Avenue. California Avenue was where I know everybody's seen the documentaries and the things of that nature. I don't know if everybody remember the guy that Tupac had a fight with in Vegas, Baby Lane. And Baby Lane, his mom's house is on California Street. So I grew up across the street from the quote-unquote, you know, guy that, you know, had a dealings with, you know, who shot Tupac. And the thing about that is bragging about all of these things that I grew up around could put light and show me in a different atmosphere, but I keep that to self as far as, you know, expressing, because it has nothing to do with the person that I've became. It's just what
right.
I've been around. And I really think a lot of rappers want to rap about what I've been around just to get accepted, because let's just say I bragged about that all through my life. I might be more famous or more known than what I am right now because I shed a light on so many different things that a rapper talks about when they never even lived it. They just have a friend that's around that told the story, and they rap about it to get the acceptance. So I honestly believe that, you know, a lot of the rappers that haven't lived it, or at least, you know, had some form of a family member, friend that been around it, it's more of just, you know, accept me to know that I'm that gangster, I'm that guy, I'm that hardcore, you know, person where you really could just be yourself, man. And certain artists are doing that nowadays. You know, it's starting to be a different type of sound when it comes to the music as far as just being yourself. But the more people do that, the better we all are. And I really hope that the newer generation that is still game banging, they just understand that, you know, it's really just about you doing what's best for self and understanding that your capabilities in this world is a lot more stronger if you focus on what you have to do in life. And even with social media, you know, it's really about everyone being accepted and getting that like and that comment to where now you accept it to be the cool kid. And it's really just about being who you are and living your life to the fullest, man.
Yeah.
I think it's also with this generation too, it's like that like is like a drug to them, man. Like as soon as they start seeing when the numbers on Instagram or Facebook, they ain't gonna tag them, they're gonna take the steps to go a little bit further. They wanna go a little bit further. And
yeah.
They get put in that box to where they like, oh, I'm untouchable. They, you know, I'm moving behind a smartphone.
Yeah, and it's definitely a drug. I would second that, because you look at that, you know, as soon as you get that extra view, that extra like, you know, that extra follower, once you touching so many followers, but your bank account ain't not to your followers, that's a problem.
Yeah, you know, and yeah, you know, and you know, so
that's why,
myself,
that's why
even,
I mean,
go ahead,
that's why I was, I didn't even cut you off from that, I had to say this before I go back, and I was like, that's why I preach, man, that at the end of the day, social media is a great vehicle, platform for exposure, but getting paid for it, it's like a whole different junk, whole different beast, man, because you got to go through so much red tape, and the impossible shadow ban, and not what people want to
crack
out.
So true, bro. So true.
Yeah. You know, and one thing about it, Ty, you know, King and myself, we talked with so many of our guests about it, is that, you know, you got to make sure that those Instagram likes and those followers translate into real fans in terms of your music. You know,
sometimes I can get ahead of myself speaking on it, but it's just because I say it out of love, you know what I'm saying, and not from trying to pretend, because, you know, and a lot of our, you know, heads out well, you know, they're open about it in terms of their affiliations, you know, shout out, you know, to Uncle Coach, 357 out of Pomona. You know, shout out to my man, G Magic from 88 Avalon. You know, of course, you know, Game representing Scooter Blog. You know, you know, when you got, of course, shout out to Dub C representing 111 Neighborhood. You know, Spidalo representing 97. You know what I'm saying? There's just so many more, you know, a lot of heads don't be knowing about. Of course, Nipsey was with the 60s. You know, Snoop, Rolling 20. You know, you know, and of course, you know, shout out to Long Beach, you know, P Nice, you know, Super Young, all them guys, man. You know, 5-6-2 through and through, to the 213, to the 323, to the 510, to, you know, all the way to the 619 in Diego. You know, shout out to Mitchie Flick and Wrong Town out in Lincoln. You know, a lot of peers got to understand that, you know, these are individuals who have really lived it out there on the block, who really, really, really know what's going on. And I think of a lot of heads really understood what the street life really entails, not necessarily just gang life, but street life in general. They might really think twice about trying to be out there like that, because at the end, they're trying to emulate something that real street niggas are trying to get out of.
And you got to understand that them street dudes, they not trying to stay where they at. They trying to make it out
right.
And it's not the way that they want to be there. It's just like, you know, I really can't get why a successful, you know, artist or whoever is portraying to be something that they're not, why would you want to go somewhere where someone is trying to get out of? And it, it never made sense to me, man. But, you know, hopefully, you know, the newer generation and the newer listeners and the people coming up, man, it's so cool and it's so good to just be yourself. Because at the end of the day, it's going to be better for you in the long run. Because being fake on the internet and then when you got to present yourself, at, you know, a meeting or, you know, bringing it to the next step and they understand you ain't what you are on that social media, you're not getting that gig, you're not getting that job, you're not getting, you know, what you was hoping and praying for because you're not real. And you got to stay real. And the best thing to do is put out there what you are and not what you think somebody wants you to be.
Yeah. You know,
you gotta stress that again, because everybody's got to be a carbon copy of somebody else.
Yeah.
Like, just be yourself, man. Be your own brand. Be your own man or woman.
Because please believe, somebody is looking. Somebody will understand, and somebody might want to collab with you, bro. And all that is just bringing more light to what positivity you got going on. Because being somebody else ain't nothing but, you know, it's not you. And you bringing more and more clones into this world to where it's best to just be self, man. Just be you.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, man, I think the music should stand on its own merits. Because, you know, if you really got something that's dope, you know, it don't matter what you did. You know, I mean, people are going to recognize it and respect it regardless. You know, when, you know, from the East Coast, you got, you know, guys like Cormega. Shout out, you know, to the Queensbridge Project. You know, you got Atlanta. You know, shout out, you know, to Jeezy, you know, and the CCE, you know, all those are my guys, you know, Soft Walker, you know, shout out to him out in Houston, you know, they all got a street path that they all are dope artists, and they all have their street reputation that they stand on with it. But you can be like a rock cat from Carson, California, who's just one of the most underappreciated lyrical masterminds of wordplay wizardry in the history of hip-hop. You know, shout out to, you know, the mad genius, you know, rest in heaven, MF Doom, you know, who was just one of the most originally crazy talented artist ever. You know, you don't got to be a street guy to be a dope MC. You know, but a lot of times that street culture in terms of validation is what everybody wants.
So true, man. But
yeah, man. But you know, so tell us in terms of, you know, in terms of your city of grind. Tell us about some of the artists that you have as well, because you said you want to do music as well. Tell us about some of the art, the acts you have on team as well.
So right now, I know I shout over to my boy Mood 3. Shout out to my boy Mood 3. Actually, one of my teammates on the Dominguez basketball team. He graduated 2009. Probably one of the last best teams of the Dominguez era. Then I got my boy Sai Bone. He's from the city, from Compton too. Grew up with bro, you know, since elementary days. He out here doing this thing. Just to name a few, you know, I think the upcoming artists out in the city, like a Blast, and you know, even a Draco. Just L.A. in general, Blue Bucks people, all of my L.A., you know, West Side people stand up. You know, I just want to shout them out, keep doing your thing. But, you know, it's more in the works. I don't want to put out too much because, you know, our release date will show, like, a lot of entertainment, a lot of artists, a lot of different avenues for, you know, what's next to come. So we'll be on the lookout.
Man, look.
I know you gotta go, because you know the Lakers are playing. I have to shoot this to you, man. Now, you think it's gonna be over for the LeBron era tonight, man, or you think you got more in the tank?
Hey, I'm watching right now, bro. I'm really a Lakers fan. Been a Lakers fan since I was born. My whole thing is you know, man, it's really hard for me to compare, bro, to Kobe. But because, you know, rest in peace, Mamba, I just wish he would give what Cole did as far as take over. If LeBron could just be that takeover type of player, I wouldn't have no question, and I would say we got it. But it's hard for me to say that because, you know, LeBron will be, you know, top five all time. But to push through, I can't call it. I really can't call it. I really, maybe we got this game, but game 7, man, it's up in the air. You wouldn't catch me betting on the game. I'll tell you that much.
In terms of LeBron coming to L.A., we got a little bit of time left. In terms of LeBron coming to L.A., how big was that for y'all in terms of him, you know, being part of Laker Nation in terms of the tradition, the stellar pedigree of championships you have? I mean, this is a franchise of, you know, Kareem, Magic, of, you know, Gil Gervais, Jerry West, Kobe, you know, Jamal Wilkes, you know, Byron Scott, you know, Wilt Chamberlain came through. I mean, what was it like there for y'all to get LeBron on the team?
So I remember when LeBron came, I wanted to speak for a lot of L.A. people where you never was a fan of LeBron because he was on that other team like a Cleveland or Miami. So I want to say I had a teammate that was never a Laker fan, but he was only a LeBron fan. So he became a Miami fan because he played for Miami, and then he became a Cleveland fan when he went back. But I noticed he didn't like the Lakers so much to where that once LeBron came to the Lakers, he told us all he hated it. He'll never be a Lakers fan, and this is an L.A. guy. He's from Long Beach. Never be a Laker fan. But when LeBron came, he was a Laker fan. What I became was a LeBron fan because he's on the Lakers. So I just know when LeBron came, it was a stamp that we have another Kobe, but you can't compare him because he's not a Kobe. It's just to a degree that, okay, now we back on the map because a lot of Laker fans were on hush mode. I don't know. My boy, I don't know if you're a Nets fan, King. I don't know if you're a Brooklyn, you know, I don't know if you're a Knicks fan or you know, a Nets fan. But I know on this end, it was to where all it's no one that can speak on LeBron now as a hater because he's a Laker. And now that he's a Laker, you know we back on the map as far as now we could talk and say what we want to say because we have LeBron now. But 5, 7, maybe 8 years ago, we were nowhere to be found. We couldn't say a word. Lakers never going to the playoffs, and I know, you know, certain Knicks fans, we were in that boat. But once we got LeBron, we knew that it was a point to where we could get a championship, which we got. And shit, they showing the banner right now.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, but you know, but that man, you know, that man gets a lot of hate for doing everything right. I'm a diehard Jordan fan. But what LeBron is trying to do in terms of by the time his career is over in terms of all-around stats, he's going to be up there in the upper echelon, you know, of greatest ever. You know, to me, anyone who says LeBron is not an all-time great player is just a hater and doesn't know basketball. You know, and everybody tries to compare him to Mike or even to Kobe. You know, but I'm like, when you look at it, Michael laid the blueprint for what Kobe and LeBron came after. You know, Kobe was the closest thing, rest in peace, to what we had with Michael because Kobe modeled his game directly after Mike. But LeBron's basketball IQ in terms of things we've seen him do on the court and his instincts, I mean, the man is just an unbelievable all-around talent, you know. And to... I mean, and to manage to maintain the type of dignity, composure, maturity, and poise since he was 15 years old, and he's 36 now, imagine living over 20 years of your life in the public spotlight, and you just do everything that you're supposed to keep it correct. That man needs to be respected. I tell people, man, you're not going to understand how great he is or really appreciate how... You know, what you had with LeBron until after he's gone from the game, retired.
And speaking on LeBron, man, I just understood LeBron because of what you said. And even him winning the championship with the Lakers, I didn't have a hate for LeBron. It was just that the way that people, you know, looked at Kobe, he just so good that I hated. And it was like that with LeBron. He just so nice, and he don't play for my home team. It's like I'm not gonna root for LeBron, but because he came to it's to the point to where his composure and his athletic ability will always mark him as, I would say, top five, and that's all players from point guard to center. I'm talking about he will for sure be in that top five conversation.
Man, look at AD lifting again. Come on, bro.
Man.
This man is getting out of bed in the morning, man. Get this man something.
I don't even want to speak on AD right now, man.
Come on, bro. This made me miss the shake here.
I got a question for y'all. Because I didn't really watch AD as far as when he was playing in New Orleans and things like that, even in college. Was he getting hurt like this?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. But, man, we're about to close this out.
That it's always been like this with bro, man. Like, it's like when he's on, he's on. But when he gets hurt, oh, man.
But at the end, though, AD's still going to go down as one of the greatest defensive players ever, man. The injuries everybody's going to hit him with, but that man's Hall of Fame credentials are secure in terms of what he brings.
Hold on. You know what? Let me stop right there. I'm not going to talk bad about none of these NBA players because I don't want none of these niggas to turn into Kwame Brown on me.
Hey.
Man. I ain't saying nothing bad about no NBA player.
Man,
yeah, Kwame
Brown,
wild.
He on another level right now. I don't understand it. And real quick, because his name is being brought up, it's really about the basketball skill. It has nothing to do with the I don't understand why bro is getting so personal. Because I'm a Lakers fan. I seen you play, Kwame. You know what I mean? Like, you wasn't Shaq, bro. So, you know,
But I understand it for what he's saying. But I get it.
I don't
want to
smell mama's
feels disrespected. But I get how he feels disrespected by what everyone has been said. But the fact is, that man didn't get in no trouble, and he's got a championship, and he played 13 years. You know, so it's like, you know, he did his thing. You know, you can't hate. But you know, damn, Ty, we need to have you back on, man, to just discuss the basketball, man, in terms of everything, man. So we know you got some stuff.
I don't want AD to retire and flame us 10 years down the line, and he go back and listen to one of these shows. I ain't saying nothing bad about that man.
We wrapping it up on critique AD for now. But hey, AT, I wouldn't mind coming back on to talk about basketball.
Man, look, man. You know you're
we sports heads.
You know you're welcome back anytime, man. Look, you know, Ty. Once again, thank you so much. We appreciate it. We had a great time with you. Shout out to the City of Champions, the CPT. Y'all keep it west, so fresh to death, man. And shout out to Cali, man, because all y'all up and down, man, from northern to southern Cali, man. Y'all keeping it, you know, active everywhere, man. So once again, thank you so much, man. And, you know, we can't wait to have you back on, man.
I appreciate y'all, man. I appreciate the support, man, from the NY, from the B, from all over. You know what I mean? From the L.A. guy, from the Compton guy, man, from the West Coast guy. Just want to let y'all know that we really do appreciate the love and the support, man. And I just want to let everybody know, keep grinding. That's the key. Keep grinding. I know it might be tough. I know we were quarantined and the whole nine and this situation, the pandemic, but just keep grinding. If anything, that's what our brand is all about. It's all about the grind, because at the end of the day, man, we got to push through life, live it to the fullest, because we only got one.
Look, my nigga Ty, Virginia just got off quarantine like last night, man. So we're officially off. Governor Northam officially lifted the bans, the restrictions last night. So Virginia's back. We back up and running again. So
yes,
you know, So you know, we're gonna be in touch with you. Like I said, man, just keep doing what y'all doing. You know, we're going to be supporting you and me. You know, we definitely got some more stuff to discuss in terms of how we're going to try to branch this thing out, man, on this side. So another great show in the book. IG, shout out to the City of Compton, the City of Grind, CPT, and King. We're still doing it. And on that note, we out.
Appreciate y'all. Love.
Appreciate you, man.